Well, praise the Lord. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. To see what God can do. Ah, my. You know, we need to pray for Cheryl. I know Cheryl is home, and she went to her daughter's, and her daughter caught that virus, and so she's had to quarantine now, and she's back at her house, but she's having to wait a while. I know there's quite a few people that are not able to be here. I know my mom is still in the nursing home and not being able to get out for since March, I think it is. And, you know, still Miss Anna and a few other people. So let's pray for them. And I know Kirk is not feeling well, his back and stuff, so we need to pray for them. So let's lift up your hands, if you would, and we're asking, Father, move upon these people, Lord God. Father, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord would touch them, heal their bodies, touch their bodies, and encourage them, Lord, in your word. Father, we pray a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, how's everybody surviving the heat? Those air conditions are working. Amen. I want you to turn to Joshua 21, please. Joshua 21. Page 413. Joshua 21, the last verse. And the last verse says this. It says, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now let me just say it a different way. It says, and this is maybe a little another, it says, not one of the promises of God have failed, not one. Now, let me read it again. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. I want you to realize this, that any time we take the word of God, and we know the word of God, it says, is a two-edged sword that divides to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It cuts. It's so sharp on both sides. That when we take the promises of God and we claim it for ourselves or for our family members or whatever situation's going on, that every promise of God we know is yes and amen. And God has not, and they were talking about Israel, that God had never failed them. And we can take that promise to us also, that God has never failed us. You know, last Sunday we gave out phone numbers. It was from the directory, you know, home phone numbers. We cut it out of Gadon, and we gave it to certain people to pray for. And you know, and I know these people are just praying for those people that are on that list. And let me tell you, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, you think that's going to make a difference? Yes, it will. Because every time we pray according to God's will and according to the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Almighty God moves and does what he wants to do. The deal is this: we got to get in vain are in the right vein of the Spirit of God and do things according to what God wants done, not according to what man wants. And when we get into the groove of what God wants and where he is at, the power and the Spirit of God will move. You might say, well, what's going to happen? Here we are, you know, Peter, from A to Z. you know, praying, asking God to move daily on a basis, daily upon people's lives. Let me tell you, when we start to do what God wants done, you see, God says in the last days that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, upon all people. And God is in the business of saving people's lives and them accepting them as their Lord and Savior. That's what he's in the business of. Doing that, saving their lives and building them up into mighty men and women of God. Raising them up to do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God as they rely upon him in doing what God wants them to do. You might say, well, you know, praying over that list of people, what it's going to do is going to soften their hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see the power and the presence of God move upon these people and save their lives. You might say, well, can that happen? Yes, it can. You see, we as a church need to expel the darkness and bring in the light of the gospel to a lost and dying world. And that comes by binding those things. That comes by taking control over those things, because God has given us the power and authority to do so. What did he say? He said, I've given you power over spirits. I've given you power over principalities and powers in high places. And so as we take authority over those things, it allows the Spirit of God to come in.
Yes, amen.
You know, in the scriptures, you'll see this a lot of times. Jerusalem is God's city, huh? Or they even call it David's DC. Babylon is whose? Lucifer, Satan. You look at Babylon and you see it in the scripture. It's awful. You look at Jerusalem and how they fighting over it so much. It's been burnt down, destroyed, burnt down, destroyed, burnt down. I mean, down to the... But that's God's city. And let me tell you, we can take authority over those things in this town, in this city, and claim it for the kingdom of God. Why stop there? We can go further and further as God allows the borders of our church to widen. We got to do what God says first. And as the borders go out, we widen our borders to claim the gospel to these people that are dying and lost. I wonder how many people got up and went to church this morning or even yesterday that really don't know God. There's a lot out there. There's a lot. We got to pray, seek the face of God, let God move upon them. And then when we get to the place where God has us, we just tell them about Christ. And the reaping will be swift. In the last days, God said there will be a sweeping of the Spirit of God upon the earth, because he's coming and trying to claim the souls of people. We need God to move like we've never seen before. We need to stake out the properties of God. You know, in the building of America, you know, how they would go and they started to go westward. And they would go westward and they would stake out a claim, they called it, the land. They staked it out. They would go and they had certain stakes. They'd stake it out from one corner to the other corner, four corners there. And they would say, this is my land. And it didn't cost a lot back then, because they wanted people to move from the east side to the west side and claim that land, you know, as America's land, but claim it for them. Just as God wants us to claim the land for the kingdom of God. That we are to claim it. And you might say land, but the land, the people that are under stress and evil, horrors. You know, my coworker at the post office came to me. He said, I want you to read something. And I said, oh, okay, you know, whatever. Okay, you know. So I started to read it, and it was a priest from in Vermilion Parish that was saying how certain things were evil and coming against certain things and stuff. And there were other people that were coming against him, not so much in Louisiana, but somebody that used to live here, and saying that they shouldn't do that. Because from what I understood, during the year, they had something at the Superdome, and where gays and lesbians all went, and they hung up all their flags, and they did all that stuff on the inside of that place, declaring that their lifestyle was okay. And he, the priest, was coming against that, saying, it's not okay. It's against God's word and against... And I looked at him, and that's where he goes, and I said, if you bring me that petition, I'll sign it. You know, to keep him in his place of working where he was the priest of. But I said, if you see that priest, when you see him, you tell him I respect him for standing up for righteousness and rightness. You know, we don't hate the people. We hate the sin, because that sin will separate them from God and will separate them from heaven. And we don't want that. So we come against the sin and the evil. But look at this. Staking out our claims, people, what God has given us, what God has given us. I want you to turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, which would be 1736. Starting with verse 46. Staking out our claim as what God can do, people. What God can do. 1736, verse 46. Verse 46 of chapter 10. Okay, everybody got it? Good. Let's read. It says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out to Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will you that I should do unto you? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Here we see blind Bartimaeus. And now we understood from what we can read and what we've come up with, that this man was blind, probably maybe from birth or whatever, but he was blind, couldn't see. You know, I don't know anybody here that's blind, but I'm sure, you know, that's a hard thing. You know, I know maybe some of your parents were blind. That's a hard thing. You can't see. You can't see what's in front of you. You can't read. You need help with everything almost, because you can't see what's in front or in back of you, on the sides of you, so you can't drive. You can't do anything. And here we see Jesus doing all kind of miracles throughout the land. And he was going to Jerusalem. Throughout that land. And here, blind Bartimaeus was hearing about what Jesus could do. And I don't know, and this is just my own personal thing, because it really doesn't say it, so I have to say that I don't know, as blind Bartimaeus started to hear about the miracles, the things that were going along all throughout, that his faith started to rise to believe that God could heal him. That they call the Messiah. This Jesus could do it. That his faith started to rise. So He staked out his claim to believe that Jesus could do that for him. And I know many of us have believed God for things, and sometimes we've seen it, sometimes we haven't. But that doesn't mean that he can't do it. Hey, I prayed with people. We've all prayed with people that needed a healing and they didn't get healed. You know? Or we prayed with people and God healed their bodies. What a miracle. But we know it's not upon what we see, but it's who we know in Christ, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is faithful and true to his word. And we can stake out our claim and know that what he says in that word will come to pass. We know he's coming for us. He's coming. Blind Bartimaeus kept hearing. And I think his faith rose up to believe that when Jesus would come his way. And when Jesus was going to Jerusalem, it says in the scripture, in the commentary, that in where he was in Jericho, that Jesus had never been there before, ever, in 33 and a half years. Let me tell you this. When we get on our knees and pray, or we're in our bed praying, and we're crying out to God, let me tell you, he'll move mountains for us. When we're lonely or feeling lonely, you can have a, be in a crowd of people and still feel lonely. You know, or you just whatever, you're not feeling right or something's just not right. You have a heavy burden upon your heart. Things are just seems like not steady. That as we cry out to God, because he says he hears, his ears are attentive to our prayers, that he will move the mountain if he needs to get to you. And he God the Holy Spirit redirected the Messiah's life, Jesus, to go through Jericho just for him. God will change a system if he needs to, just for me or just for you. God will move mountains if he needs to. That's how much he cares about us. That's how much he loves us. Don't let the enemy tell you that God doesn't care about you. That is not truth. It's not right. And that's from the pit of hell. Because we know that Jesus Christ loves us. We know the Holy Spirit loves us. And we know this, God the Father loves us. Because of what he did for us in sending his son. And here we see blind Bartimaeus sitting by the temple like he always did in the morning and the evening. He got there. Probably people had to carry him or bring him. They laid down his blanket. He sat on part of it. And the front part of it was a little can probably, begging people for money. You ever had to beg somebody for something? Thank God you never had to. Thank God. But do you think that's humiliating? Because he couldn't work. He couldn't supply for himself. And you know it was the same people who went over that pass right by him. Maybe somebody had mercy and threw him a little penny, you know, and that's our money, but you know, whatever. Just a little bit. But all of a sudden, blind Bartimaeus, he didn't know that Jesus was coming his way. But he heard about the miracles. And he didn't realize that that would be the last time somebody would have to bring him to that place of being of begging. You see? And when he got there, he put his stake down. He put that little rug down, sat upon it with the little can and just waited. I don't know if he sang. I don't know what he did. Didn't say that. And all of a sudden, he hears the ruckus of things. Because he can't see, but he can hear. And I've often heard this now, I don't know. When you lose something, other things heighten up. Like when you lose, is that truth? I think it's truth. I mean, is that truth? You know, he could hear, I mean, like, I mean, you can hear, Lord, too much sometimes. I guess, you know, like the bionic, you know, who was the man or the lady that had the bionic ear? Y'all remember that show? No, no. That the man that was bionic, he had the bionic something, the arm or something, and then what it was, the $6 million. Yes, it was the $6 million man. Okay, yeah. He could hear. Yeah, leave it. Yes. And they'd show it. Oh, he could hear from blocks away. Whatever. He could hear a ruckus going on. And he heard as the people were running by him, it's Jesus. And I'm sure blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus of Nazareth. The one I maybe might put my hope in. And all of a sudden, as the crowd got closer and closer to him, he did what he could. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't see Jesus. So he put his stake in the ground. And he said, all I can do is holler to him. And he started to holler, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Nothing happened. Son of David, have mercy upon me. And the crowd is just going crazy because he's coming in. It's an amazing thing. Jesus heard none of those people, but he heard by the Spirit this man. People, he hears us when we pray. He hears us when we cry to him. He hears us when we're in agony or pain or happy or sad. He hears us because we are his children. And he kept saying, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Son of David, have mercy upon me. And the people tried to make him be quiet. No, 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 quiet. And he just kept on because he knew this might be his last hope, which it was his last hope. And he kept hollering, Son of David. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops. He looks and he says, bring him to me. It's an amazing thing. They got him up. And they brought blind Bartimaeus to Jesus. Why didn't blind Bartimaeus, when he was getting up, grab that rug? Because he wasn't going to need it anymore. By faith, he knew his healing was coming. Amen. You see, by faith, we know that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Amen. The miracle working power of our God. Yes, amen. Look, we don't serve no little skinny God that does nothing. He can't do anything. We serve a God that is all powerful, all loving, yes. Everything. He's the great creator of the universe. Hallelujah. Yeah. The creator of human beings. The creator. He loves us and cares about us. Jesus prayed for him and healed. That was left. The money was left. The can was left. The rug was left. And blind, no more blind Bartimaeus. But Bartimaeus could care less about it. Look what God can do, people. Look what God can do. Look what God can do. Stake out your claim for your family. Don't be discouraged. You might say, Pastor, I've been praying for my family. It seems like they're worse off than before. That's okay. That's okay. We don't go by what we see in the flesh. People, we are spirit, soul, and body. We're led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We have faith in our God and we look to Him. And we're moved by the Spirit of Almighty God. We don't look at what's going on. We look at faith in our God to believe God for it. That what he said will come true. Oh, hallelujah. What he said will happen no matter what. God used a little man called Gideon. Gideon was part, you can read it in Judges and Joshua and all that. Gideon was a man. They were hiding. Every time the Israelites would grow a crop, the Midianites would come and steal it all. They would. Can you imagine you had a garden and you planted it and you watered the garden and you saw the you saw those big tomatoes, and all of a sudden you wake up the next morning, all your tomatoes are gone, all your cucumbers are gone, all your turnips are gone, all your onion tops are gone. Everything's just... That's what would happen to the Israelites. The Midianites would wait, and they let the Israelites plant the flower, plant whatever. And as it would grow, they'd see them take care of it. And all of a sudden, when it was time to harvest it, they would come in and they would ransack it and steal. You might say, well, why did God allow that to happen? Because the Israelites had swayed from God. See, that's why sometimes God will allow the enemy to come steal from us. Now, we know we have authority over the enemy. And we know our God is in control. But sometimes we kind of sway a little bit, huh? We get a little lukewarm. And God says, I need to allow something to happen to bring them back. That's the goodness of God. The goodness of God. And all of a sudden it says God came to Gideon, was in the threshing floor hiding, trying to do the flour and get it so that they would have food, because you see starvation came to the Israel's camp. And God called Gideon to stand up and to come against the Midianites. And God used that man to destroy them. You see, what I'm saying is this. God is saying, stake your claim that your children are God's children. Stake your claim that your in-laws, grandparents, children are God's. Stake your claim that, hey, when I pray, that God's going to move upon a situation. You see, we can go through many examples in the Bible. Many examples in the Bible of many men and women that stood up for the things of God. We need to stand, guys, and not be swayed to the left or to the right by the things of the world. Their standard of living, their standard. We can't do that. We can't allow that to infiltrate our hearts. But we need to stay close to the Word of God. Because it says this. What is the Word of God to the children, God's children? What is it? What does God call the Word of God? Life, but there's something else. What? Bread of life. There's something else. Living water. Truth. Good. Something else. All you're saying is true. Don't. What? Light. Somebody said light? Light. And anytime the light is put away, you will walk in darkness. So we got to keep that word before us. Reading it, concentrating on it, studying it, so it ever is light to us. Because it says Jesus is the light of the world, that we are the light, that God, he comes and lives inside of us. We are the light of the world because of Jesus in us, not because of us. Not because of us, the light of Jesus. But that word is a light unto us. It brings hope. It brings help to us. That's why God says, study, read your word, people. Get it in your heart. Get it in your spirit. And anytime you see promises that God says is for you or for your family member, scriptures, you take those scriptures, and every time you take that scripture and you're writing it down and you're saying, I'm staking this claim as for my loved one here, or for me, or for the church, or for your pastors, whatever it is. The power of Almighty God. You see, we serve a great God that is moved by the prayers of His people. And look, God is wanting to move like He's never moved before, because He knows time is short. You know? And so we got to get on the wagon here and do what God tells us to do in praying for our loved ones, praying for the multitudes of people, that God will soften their hearts to the gospel and we will reap the harvest, that it will come in as we speak the word of God, that it will not fall upon ground that is hard or ground that is not suitable for the seed, but it will fall upon good ground in the hearts and lives of people. And we will be able to reap that harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was the last greatest sermon Jesus ever preached. That should, and we know what you say in the last is what you really mean. And what he was meaning was, church, go. Don't be ashamed. I know it's hard sometimes to stand up for righteousness. I know it. Especially when there's a whole bunch that are not, huh? But you pray and you say, Lord, give me that spirit. Help me to stand firm and stand for what is right. I was at work the other day and we were loading up our trucks. They have a bunch, and they start talking about pastors. One of them said, yeah, I just saw my pastor. He drove up to me in a Lexus. And I knew what it was getting to. Another was like, oh, yeah, they drive around all these, you know. And so I stopped and I said, y'all better be careful about what y'all are saying. You better be careful. Then all of a sudden it stops and, boy, they're trying to, okay, Joe, okay, you know, you okay, yeah. Things are good with some. And I said, you know, I said, there's good and bad in every profession. And I said, what are y'all saying is probably truth. It's truth, because there's some things not right with pastors. But I said, just like there's some good and bad letter carriers, there's good and bad pastors. And they laughed, you know, but, you know, that's what the devil will look at. But you have to stand for what is right, because I told them, I said, there's some great ones out there that will give everything they have to the gospel's sake for people. They will give all their money. They will give all their talents. They will give all their abilities. They will give everything they own just to see the church prosper in the kingdom of God. And so, you know, they laugh, but you have to stand up, you know, and you can stand up doing it right, you know. But don't back up. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I've backed up some, and I understand. I have backed up too sometimes. But I've said, Lord, from this day forward, don't let me ever do that ever again. Just be quiet and not say a word. Now, unless the Lord tells you just be quiet, then you're quiet, you know. Because you might come out with some fighting words there. You know, I hate to see you in a fight. I don't want to have to go visit you in jail, you know. Andrew's fault, yeah. Go visit you in jail, okay. But I tell you what, guys, look. Let's stake out what rightfully belongs. The whole earth belongs to the Lord and everything in it. Everything belongs to our Lord. Yeah, we know the devil is the one that's over it right now, some per se. But I tell you what, God has given us this land. Let's take it. You might say, well, Pastor, should we keep praying? Yes. The ones that have those lists, keep praying for them, please. You don't mind? Keep praying for those people on that list. You might say, well, what list are you talking about? Get a phone book and look up Gaydon and take those names. Or you can do the whole phone book. Doesn't matter, you know. But may you perish and ask God to move upon them. Do we really believe? I'm going to ask you this question. Do we really believe that when somebody dies and they have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, do you and I really believe that they go to hell? Do we really believe it? Do we really believe that Jesus is the only door to heaven? A lot of you, and I know you do, but think about it. That's why the church doesn't go and preach and try to share, because they think everybody's going to heaven. That's not truth. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Stake out your claim that your family's coming with you. Huh? Come on, people. Stake it out and pray and come against that, those things that are holding them in bondage, so that they would be free and open to see the truth of the gospel. Somebody prayed for you and somebody prayed for me that God would open my eyes, and thank you, Lord, to see the truth of the gospel. We need to let the power of God move. Remember this. Whenever you're speaking to somebody, God is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Going to give you what you need to say to that person. Praise God. Amen. You may stand, please. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, please. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your heart and life to Him this morning, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? As far as I can see here, everybody has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But I want us to pray the prayer together, because we might have people watching that don't know the Lord, or during the week they watch it. And I want to give them a chance to know the Lord. Would you please repeat this prayer after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my Lord, as my God, and as my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Your will be done in me and through me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may look this way. Look, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We love you and we thank God for you. And I pray you have a great week this week.